I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing super great. Any invitations from General Conference and promised blessings that you've been working on and seeing in your life?
The last talk we discussed has an invitation that I've been working on, in a couple ways. So it was Elder Iring's talk about the Holy Ghost being our constant companion. And one of his invitations was essentially to pray for and heed spiritual promptings. So that's one that I've been focusing on more. Even though there's not as many like explicitly spiritual ways to use promptings, if that makes sense. Like with my old job, it was obvious, it was very clear when I needed to do certain things for others' sakes spiritually.
Your now, old that's job not at Walmart?
My old job at the MTC teaching.
Oh, yeah. Context. I just needed context.
Yeah. And so now, like, no one's spirituality is on the line, and I have no calling and no, like, spiritual stewardship over anyone. But I'm still trying to heed the promptings of the Spirit just to make people's lives a little bit better for the minutes that I'm interacting with them.
Yeah.
Because is there ever a time when the spirituality of your eternal brothers and sisters is not on the line, Aaliyah?
Right? I guess.
Boom. Kaboom.
Boom.
Microphone dropped. Aaliyah, I empathize with you when you're on a mission. It's all about other people. It's all about spirituality all the time. And then you have this period of time in your life when you get back from a mission where it's hard to be in situations where that's what your life is like. You're just almost forced to focus on your own self for so much in your early 20s, as you just don't have the same level of responsibility for other people. So yeah, it's a challenge. So I'm proud of you for getting after it. Okay. Next, we're going to go to Burke. Welcome to the podcast today, Burke. How are you?
I am doing quite wonderfully, and I am continuing to work on my invitation to study the life and teachings of Jesus Christ and his titles and names and all things wrapped up in that from the entries in the topical guide. And I've continued to do that. No earth-shattering insights. But also today, I was just thinking how grateful I am for the previous invitation over many conference sessions that I worked on to develop a good relationship with those I've been asked to minister to, and how wonderful that has been. So just one more invitation to you listening out there, do just a little better in your ministering this next week or two and see what a difference it makes in your life.
I love it. Thank you, Burke. I need that invitation. I've done zero ministering since I moved into this ward, and I must repent and do better. So thank you for going all Elder Bednar on me today and calling me to repentance.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And we also have Rivka with us. How are you today, Rivka?
I'm so happy to be here.
Great. We are happy to have you here, as is everyone else who is listening to the podcast, as we know.
That's so true.
As the most popular person on the podcast.
Stop.
We'll stop when they stop.
Stop. No, you be the example.
What invitations have you been working on, Rivka?
So I recently re-listened to Sister Rumia's talk, the one about, what's it called? I'm looking. Seeing God's Family Through the Overview Lens.
Oh, love that one.
Yeah.
Right. The one about zooming out, and it hit deep again. I think because I was like, that's a talk I need to work on. And then I like forgot about it really quickly because I didn't want to have to deal with it. But it's come back around because that's how the Spirit works. And so I have been reading and listening to it a few times since I ran into it again, because she says things like, everything you are worried about, it's all going to be okay. And then she says, worry feels a lot like love, but it's not the same. Anyway, there are a lot of things in this talk where I'm just like, oh, it hits like all kinds of things in me that I really need to work on. So that's what I'm working on. I am working on being prayerful for some help in zooming out on things that I tend to get worried and stressed and overly focused on.
Okay.
To the detriment of being able to see the real, you know, the whole big picture.
Awesome. What promise blessings have you been seeing from that?
One of the things she says in it, she says, while our families aren't perfect, we can perfect our love for others until it becomes a constant, unchanging, no matter what kind of love, the type of love that supports change and allows for growth and return. And as I have been working on this, and this has just been a couple of weeks really, but I am feeling the Spirit work on softening my heart to, and changing it to become the kind of heart that can be this type of heart, that loves and supports change and allows for growth in return, because it's a quality I admire in people that I see who have it. And I think I want to be like that. Well, apparently I can't manage that on my own. So with the Lord's help, this process is beginning.
Awesome. I love it. And that's, you have a grand adventure ahead of you then, if you're beginning a process of change with the Lord's help. So,
yep.
Great. Well, I have been working on the same invitation for like ever, basically, to drench myself in the scriptures. I guess I need to choose a new one. but I would say it's going great. I'm having so much fun. So I have been reading the Book of Mormon, and I shouldn't even say reading. I've been studying the Book of Mormon about a half hour a day. For anyone who is new to the podcast, this is not a new thing. I've been, the formula that has worked for me is to do this while I walk on the treadmill in the morning. So, I'm morally opposed to running. So I walk, and because I'm walking, I can read while I'm walking. And it's been so good. I remember when we had the Book of Mormon the last time in Come Follow Me, I was like, this is amazing. I feel like I'm learning so much new about the Book of Mormon that I never knew before. And I'm having the same experience again. It's just, it's unbelievable. I've read it, you know, I don't know how many times I've read the Book of Mormon, but I'm just having an incredible experience and loving it. And still trying to memorize scriptures along with that. And it's just been great. And I love the Book of Mormon. And yeah, it's been fantastic. So maybe I do need to, because that one is going well, I need to find another one that's been more challenging and start working on that. So I also decided to work on my temple attendance and do that now that we live closer, do that twice a month. Deanna has been going once a week. So we try to go together twice, and then she goes on her own twice. So I'm working on doing that. And that has also been glorious to have a temple so close. So that's where I'm at. The promised blessings are just lots of doses of the Spirit, I think. You're really just having the Spirit in my life every morning as I get started with my day. So, all right. Now we move on to the talk today, which is Jesus Christ is the Treasure by Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And in this talk, he encourages us not to miss what is right underneath our feet, not to miss the mark, and to focus on the Savior. So we'll start with Burke. What was your fundamental doctrine, Burke?
Well, he shares a story of a couple of gentlemen, Carter and Carnarvon, who are looking for the tomb of King Tut. And having spent years and years and years and dug everywhere, they're about to give up. And finally, they decide that maybe they should look under where their base camp has been this whole time. And he says here, during those years of ineffectual searching, Carter and Carnarvon had overlooked what was literally under their feet. Which, as you said in your summary, so they did. They started digging there, and within days, they found the entrance to the tomb. And he says here, some 5 centuries before the Savior's birth, the Book of Mormon prophet Jacob referred to taking for granted or undervaluing what is nearby as looking beyond the mark. And so he's going to give us some good direction here on how to not look past those things that are important.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That is a great place to start. And he talks, we'll expand on that as we go. So we'll move on to Rivka. And Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Okay, this is what I'm going to pick. He says, as an 8-year-old, I had mistakenly presumed that the water of baptism washed away sins. Not so. In the years since my baptism, I have learned that sins are cleansed by the power of Jesus Christ through his atoning sacrifice as we make and keep the baptismal covenant. Then, through the gift of repentance, we can remain clean. I've also learned that the sacrament brings a powerful, virtuous cycle into our lives, enabling us to retain a remission of our sins. So, the fundamental doctrine for me in this is that the cleansing and enabling that we seek and that allows us to live the virtuous cycle comes from Jesus Christ, not from baptismal water or anything else we may try to do to replace him.
I love that. So if someone gets up at the next baptismal service you attend and tells a little 8-year-old, this is where your sins are washed away, is that person doctrinally incorrect?
I would say that person is doctrinally incomplete in that explanation.
Oh, I like that.
Because they're not wrong in the sense of if they mean here in making this covenant, then they're correct. But I think the implication often is like here when you get baptized, and it's incomplete because it doesn't continue the idea that now you've made a covenant and now you're keeping it, and that you're doing with Jesus Christ and he makes all of it possible.
Yeah, I love it. In footnote 12, excuse me, which is actually from the next paragraph, but I think is relevant.
Yep.
He sort of expands on that and says, the sacrament was, however, not instituted as a specific means of securing a remission of our sins. A person cannot willfully sin on Saturday evening and expect that all he or she needs to do is eat a piece of bread and drink a cup of water on Sunday and magically be cleansed. But the sanctifying effect of the Holy Ghost can cleanse all who repent with a sincere heart and with real intent. So it's not the taking of the bread and water. It's the repentance and renewing our covenant with the Lord, that brings a spirit into our life which cleanses our heart and helps us receive forgiveness of our sins. So it's maybe a little more complicated.
Well, the waters of baptism and the bread and the water that we take at sacrament are ritual representations and visual reminders for us.
Right.
You know, there's nothing magical about them, except that they are things that we do that give us tangible reminders of how it actually works.
Right. Exactly. I love it. That ties into Elder Eyring's talk about feeling the atonement work in your life, or knowing that you are having the atonement work in your life when you feel the Holy Ghost. And it ties into the thing we said about the virtue cycle. He even said the sacrament brings a power of virtuous cycle into our lives. So it's amazing. These things just keep coming up. Okay, well, let's go on to Aaliyah. What was your fundamental doctrine? And I chose Aaliyah last, so she had plenty of time to scroll down to wherever.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mine is really complicated, and it ties back into the story about the treasure. He says, Jesus Christ is our treasure.
I love it.
That's it.
Why, that's the whole thing. Why did you love that short fundamental doctrine?
Because we can't look beyond the mark if we're focusing on Jesus Christ.
Ooh, I love
Anything
it.
Anything else that we're looking at is
not what we should be looking at, basically.
Yeah.
If we're looking for treasure, he is the treasure.
I have quoted Burke many times as esoteric gospel doctrine questions have come up and they seem complicated or unanswerable. And then I say, well, first I'm going to try to master faith and repentance, and then I'll get back to you on that one.
It's true.
So, Aaliyah, has there been a time in your life when you have missed the mark and let your focus waver off of the Savior and had to pull it back?
Absolutely. It's a constant battle. I really love progress and becoming a better person. And although I do spend a lot of time counseling with God on how to do that and relying on his help, I tend to get ahead of him and ahead of myself and look beyond the mark. And turns out I have to slow down, be patient, and stay behind the shepherd. Otherwise, I end up going backwards in my progress instead of forwards.
Aha. So you sometimes focus on self-improvement under your own power instead of relying on the Savior.
Yep.
Okay. And that's not a bad thing, right? Self-improvement. So I think one of the points of his talk here and your fundamental doctrine about Jesus Christ being our treasure is you don't have to be doing something that you might think of as like a bad sin. And of course, it's way more complicated than that, right? But sometimes that's how we think of it. You can be doing something good, but what God wants you to do is godly things. And so anytime we deviate from that, we're missing the mark. So, okay. Let's go back to Burke. Burke, how does missing the mark manifest itself in your life?
Well, I don't know if we've talked about this much, but I have so many questions.
Indeed.
And I think Aaliyah kind of alluded to this in that, we can focus on one thing that seems really important to us, and various times in my life, it's been all manner of different questions, like how does the account of creation mesh with what we know of physics?
Right.
Or how does the creation of Adam and Eve mesh with what we know of evolution? Big questions, and those are just some of them. But we do have to remember ultimately that the way, at least for me, the way I get through every day, and as we talked about in the last talk, is by starting out the morning with my scripture study and with prayer and with looking for those times in the day when I can do those things the Spirit wants me to do to help those around me and to bring more peace into my own life. And those other questions are fantastic, and it's good to study and it's good to learn, but we do need to continually focus on the simple things, Jesus Christ and the atonement. I don't have a way around that.
I love it. Lawrence Corbridge, in his just absolutely phenomenal talk, Stand Forever, sort of separated them into primary questions and secondary questions. And basically, if it's a deal breaker on, the cornerstone of your faith. So evolution is not a deal breaker. It's interesting. It's complex. It's something one day we'll know about. But whether it played out like Darwin said or whether it played out like something else, it doesn't change the fundamental primary question of is the Jesus Christ our Savior? And so by staying in the scriptures and in your prayers every day, you're keeping your focus on those primary questions. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Well, and fortunately, there's never been a time in my life when I prayed for help when the answer I got was you need to study more physics first.
Then you obviously didn't take a physics board exam like I did.
I was just thinking of the same thing. I was like, never took a physics test.
Yeah. I had a whole exam on physics to get licensed as a physician. So I prayed for a lot of help with that. And I did get answers that were study more physics.
Yeah.
Yep. I appreciate that answer. So let's talk then about other quotes from this talk that really stood out to you, Burke.
All right, let's see. One of the ones I loved as someone who's had a temple announced, but again, unfortunately, when we returned from conference, the temple wasn't here yet. But he says, paradoxically, as temples become more accessible, it may be easier for us to become more casual about temple attendance. And it isn't often, you know, that I say, you know, give me the opportunity to see if I can withstand that sin, but I got to tell you, bring it. Put a temple close and let me see if I can do better than this. I would like to try.
Indeed. How far away is your current temple?
Miles, actually, it's like 31 miles away, but it's over a bridge and through Portland. So yeah.
It
depends on the time of day. So if it was like, I used to love to go to the 6 o'clock in the morning Saturday session because I could get down there, do a session, and come home before my house was even awake yet. And they don't have that early session anymore. So yeah, it's tough to say, depending on the time of day, it can be as much as an hour and a half, 2 hour drive home from there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. That is a weird temptation though, whether the easier something is to access, the less we actually, you know, get at it sometimes. So, but I have faith in you. You will withstand the temptation, Burke. You're going to use that temple. So,
yeah, I know we're not supposed to say, give me that mountain, but I'm kind of saying, give me that mountain.
Famous last words. We'll follow up in 5 years.
Exactly.
Well, Rivka, what else from this talk stood out to you?
He says, we are promised that the Holy Ghost will be our constant companion if we approach the sacrament the way a new convert approaches baptism and confirmation, with a broken heart and contrite spirit and a determination to live up to that baptismal covenant. The Holy Ghost blesses us with his sanctifying power so that we can always retain a remission of our sins week in and week out. And I was thinking about my own baptism day, and I was thinking about the many, many baptisms that I've been to of brand new 8-year-olds who are getting baptized, and to the ones I have been to for those who have joined the church later in life that we would traditionally call converts. And just remembering the feeling of those days, the feeling of those events, and the flow of the spirit that is just, I don't know, constant and large, and the joy that is felt. And I was thinking of the thousands of times through my life that I have participated in a sacrament meeting and in the ordinance of the sacrament, and they have not always felt that way. Most of the time they have not felt that way. And I'm not suggesting it has to be like this, feel like a big special event every Sunday, but I appreciated the idea, or kind of this thought placed in my head about approaching the sacrament on Sunday the way that a convert approaches baptism and confirmation, with that excitement and the fire and the drive to be better, rather than just something that is so commonplace that I begin to treat it common and take it for granted, or to treat it as something to, I don't know, fear or avoid or be scared of because I don't think I'm living right, or maybe I'm not worthy of it. I don't know. There's a lot of different reasons why we might not connect with the ordinance of the sacrament on the Sabbath. But I just loved this thought.
Awesome.
Of a different way to approach it. Yeah.
So he's saying, sort of, to rephrase, focus on the fundamental ordinance of sacrament, but with fresh eyes each week.
Yeah. And with a recognition of the significance of it. And I think at the end, when he says the Holy Ghost blesses us with sanctifying power so we can always retain a remission of our sins week in and week out, I think like the reminder that that is something that I want, and that this thing that I get to participate in every week is a time to refocus my sights and maybe rehone my dedication to doing the things that he's asked me to do, doing those fundamentals so that I can have the Spirit with me as a constant companion.
I love that. As you were talking, it reminded me of the times I've gone through the temple with somebody for the first time, particularly my own children, and how much more impactful the endowment ordinance is when I'm doing it that way, because I'm so, my awareness and alertness is so heightened to every little thing. So bringing that to the sacrament each week could be powerful. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on to Aaliyah. What other quote did you want to discuss from this talk, Aaliyah?
He is talking about the treasure people again. And he says, "We do not need to labor unsuccessfully as they did for a time to find our treasure. Nor need we seek counsel from exotic sources, prizing the novelty of the source and thinking such counsel will be more enlightened than that which we can receive from a humble prophet of God." And this can be interpreted as kind of a warning, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a, I don't know, you could if you wanted to, but like you really don't need to. Like, like we could labor for a long time to find our treasure without looking to Christ. And we could look to lots of different sources and, you know, search for a variety of things or from certain more powerful sources or whatever. But really, the person we want steering the boat is Jesus Christ and his chosen leaders. And so we can either look to them or we can look for other places. And it seems like an easy decision when you put it like that, but obviously it's harder to do in real life. But I like that kind of very clear dividing line.
Yeah, that is a great dividing line. And so many parallels between this talk and the last one we discussed, where Elder Eyring said, you know, all I want is what you want. So in some ways, it's not about like digging for our treasure. It's making the Lord our treasure. We know where to find him.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than spending years like, oh, well, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, it's just about making the Lord the center of our lives and our treasure. So,
yeah.
Okay. Let's go on to invitations and promised blessings. Burke, what invitations did you find here?
When we trust God's prophet on the earth today and act on his counsel, that's the invitation. And the blessing is, we will find happiness and we too can be healed. We need look no further. Pretty simple, straightforward. Well, simple. It's actually not that hard, because if you read any conference talk, then you will also find guidance from the prophet.
Right. Right.
Although maybe not in this conference talk. Now that I think
about it. A lot of the promises we read are straightforward and simple. Maybe not easy, but simple.
Yeah.
All right, Ribka, what other invitation and promise blessings did you find?
Well, Burke, he hid the two President Nelson quotes in footnotes 15 and 16. So they're technically in the talk.
He did.
Indeed. Great footnotes for this talk, by the way.
They are. Yes, really, really good footnotes. Mine is this: as you come to him, Jesus Christ, you will be rewarded with strength to face life's challenges, courage to do what is right, and the ability to fulfill your mission in mortality. So three really great blessings I would love. And right after that, he gives us a little treasure map of how to come unto him. He says, treasure the opportunity to repent, the privilege of partaking the sacrament, the blessing of making and keeping temple covenants, and the delight of worshiping in the temple, and the joy of having a living prophet. So all of those things are ways that we come to him to receive those blessings.
I love it. Focus on those fundamentals.
You betcha.
And Aaliyah, let's end with you. What was an invitation or promise?
He says, I encourage you to remember and always focus on Jesus Christ. He is our Savior and Redeemer, the mark to whom we should look, and our greatest treasure. And then the promise blessing is the one that Rivka mentioned that kind of overlaps with the other invitation there. But
awesome. Okay, so just keeping our focus on the Savior by doing the fundamentals, right? That's the good summary.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, a good talk, again, paired well with the last one. And a good way to kick off the Sunday morning session. We'll continue, or the Sunday afternoon session. We will continue next time discussing the talk Eternal Truth by Elder John C. Pinegree Jr. of the 70. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, Aaliyah is going to tell you how to do that.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
All right. So thanks to everyone who joined us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.